This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Mike DeJong. And Mike, for 2 years, was the editor-in-chief of Eurobiz Japan magazine. Eurobiz is a Europe-Japan business magazine. How would that information differ from, let's say, you were editing a USA-Japan business magazine?
Well, funny enough, I actually used to edit a USA magazine, a USA-Japan magazine for the American Chamber of Commerce. Different focus, different sort of philosophies, as you know, in terms of business and cooperation between the countries. The big thing for the Europeans right now is the free trade or economic partnership agreement that they're talking about, which is similar to the TPP, but a little bit more expanded into political areas, such as the death penalty and things like that, which may come up in those talks. So interesting to see the differences between the European and the American business relations with Japan.
So what would be a couple of concrete examples about how a European businessman might have different information needs for dealing with Japan or might approach Japan differently?
I think Europeans are more collectivist, Rick, as you know, and as you've been mm-hmm. talking about for many years. I think they approach it a little less, perhaps, aggressively. Perhaps they're not quite as money-focused. I mean, obviously, they want to make money and profit from their associations with the Japanese, but I think they, you know, the Europeans look to form more of a friendship, more of a partnership when they deal with Japanese companies, whereas the Americans and the Canadians, I mean, I'm Canadian, so the Canadians and the Americans tend to be a little bit more focused on what they can get out of it for themselves mm-hmm. rather than working collectively. So I think that is one difference that I've noticed.
If you get into the mindset of a very top-end business executive in Japan, is a long-term steady relationship something you can rely on and count on and value, or do you just make each deal one at a time?
No, I think that's exactly right. The former, you know, they really want to forge relationships that will last. I mean, both economies, the European and the Japanese, have been struggling, sluggish, as everyone knows, in the last few years, especially Japan coming out of the collapse of the bubble economy. So I think both sides are really looking to form long-lasting partnerships that'll benefit the economies on both sides. And that's, again, one reason why they're really looking towards this economic partnership agreement to perhaps do some of those things.
It's interesting. The United States is pretty notorious as far as having a horrible work-play balance. And, you know, we don't take long vacations. We have the shortest vacations in a lot of ways in the rich world. But I think the Japanese are even more workaholic than we are. What is it that drives this thing in Japan, that they would actually work themselves to death?
Well, it's a real cultural mindset. It's number one. Your company participation, your job, is number one. And I'm not saying that the Japanese don't love their families or their children or their lives, you know, their lifestyles away from work. I mean, they do, but their main focus is on being part of that organization.
So that's where you belong, and that's your self-worth, really, in public, is your position at your company. And there's all that seniority, and you got to stay in the same company, or you got to start from scratch.
That's exactly right, and it plays into the whole collectivist mindset that the Japanese have culturally. That they being part of the group and the whole notion of self-sacrifice, you know, comes from 200, 300 years of history of doing mm-hmm. just that. So it is a bit of a shock. A lot of Japanese don't even take their full vacations. I mean, they generally get 2 weeks. You know, generalizing for company could be different, but it's almost like a badge of courage that they come back after a few days and they say, I don't need all my vacation time. I'm devoting myself to the company. They go out drinking with coworkers as almost part of their job obligation two or three times a week in many cases. And in most cases, they work Saturdays as well. The executives do.
Wow.
So if you're a white collar worker, a salary man, as they call them, or a salary woman, you're probably going to be working Saturdays as well.